Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with John Prudeau, who is the CEO of Boku. Hi, John. Welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Okay. Hi, Karen. It's my pleasure.
So just to give everyone the level set on Boku, although I'm sure everyone knows what Boku is in the business of doing, Boku is a mobile payments platform that utilizes a mobile phone number that is tied to carrier billing as the method of payment. And the big news is, John, you are the new CEO. And I thought we could get into our discussion about Boku and your new role there by providing a little bit of context about your experience in payments. You have a long history of working in the payment space, certainly a long career at Visa Europe, and from there to two businesses that were focused specifically in the e-commerce space, but probably pretty much related to e-commerce and cards. Boku is certainly on the e-commerce side, but not at all about cards. What about your experience has prepared you for the role that you now assume at Boku?
Well, I think, payments, what merchants want out of payments is pretty much the same thing. And in fact, if there's one thing that I've learned over a reasonably long career in payments, is that when a merchant is considering what type of payment method they're going to accept, they're really asking themselves one question. And that question is, will I sell more stuff? And that's really the key determinant as to whether your payment method gets accepted and whether that happens to be cards back in the old days where merchants were accepting credit cards because it enabled them to access customers who came from different parts of the world that they were never involved with before, or those customers were able perhaps to buy now when they couldn't buy later. There's really a heck of a lot of analogies when you start looking at from that into Boku's basic payment proposition as well. I mean, we are today able to reach something in the region of 4 billion consumers through 270 different carrier connections around the world. So that reach is really something that's important to our customers, just as the reach of a Visa was important back in the old days when I was working back at Visa. And the convenient payment that we can produce where consumers are able to buy something just with a single tap or just by knowing their phone number, that's something where, which is important for Boku today, just as providing convenient access to your funds was an innovation perhaps 20 years ago when I was at Visa. So I don't really see myself as being involved in something materially different. I mean, cards has become something that's very specialist. But when I was starting in the business, I mean, we were just really trying to find value propositions that work for merchants. And that's exactly what we're trying to do now. And through the piece, after I left Visa, working for a general purpose, a payment service provider, we were dealing with cards, but we were also dealing with a bunch of alternative payment mechanisms too. But through it all, there are these basic truths. If a merchant thinks he's going to sell more stuff as a result of taking his payment method, he'll accept it and he'll pay you for the privilege of doing so.
John, I think that's a really, really good point. And I think lots of times people in the business forget that from a merchant's perspective, it isn't about the payment, it's about their ability to sell more stuff. That is why they are in business. So give us the context. Do merchants sell more stuff when they accept Boku as a payment method?
Yes, they absolutely do. I mean, one thing that can be said in respect of Boku is that we do very much line ourselves up as essentially the third payment rail. You can say that there's Visa that's out there who are pretty much ubiquitous and reasonably good value, but not very convenient in the online environment. You've got PayPal, who would be sitting out there being pretty convenient and also reasonably cheap, but perhaps not having the range or exactly the same number of consumers as would a Visa. Boku, we can hit on the ubiquitous. We've got a tick in that box. We've got a tick in the convenience box. But our guilty secret, if you like, is we're a little bit more expensive than the other payment methods. And the only reason why merchants are prepared to pay those extra fees is we've demonstrated our ability to help them sell more stuff. How much more? I mean, clearly it depends on the merchant vertical that they're involved with. It can sometimes be 5%, sometimes 10%. In some scenarios, we've seen a situation where it can be 60, 70% increases as a result of the payment methods we put in place. We earn our corn on the basis of us delivering extra business as far as our merchants are concerned. And that's why we can sustain the premium that we have in terms of the price of our products.
So John, give us a sense of the state of the world with respect to carrier billing, because that is the convenience that you certainly provide to the consumer, phone number, and that purchase gets applied to their mobile phone bill. How far are carriers willing to go to enable that payments experience? And I wonder if that differs in different parts of the world and maybe even by merchant category.
I mean, it totally does differ. And I think it's a little bit helpful just to put this in a bit of context. I mean, this method of payment started out with purchasing some stuff really that you was really focused around your phone, ringtones or wallpapers, what have you. That's never been Boku's business. In fact, we started off really by trying to create a new e-commerce payment method that allowed people to buy stuff principally through their PC. And that was really focused around virtual content and so on. That's a piece of the business that's relatively mature nowadays, and what we're spending more of our time on is certainly enabling digital content, as well as moving out into purchasing of real-world services, and even sort of low-value physical goods as well. And our ability to do that is really constrained by the position of carriers in the various markets within which we operate. So in some countries, and it's fair to say also that this applies to most of the U.S. carriers, they've had some pretty bad experiences with some of our competitors, or I would say predecessors even, who are operating in the premium SMS world and, perhaps didn't indulge in the very best business practices. So as an organization, we've always made it our business, and we've continued to do this, whereby we're working with the very best brands, the very biggest merchants who have the best business practices. And therefore, what we can deliver to our carrier partners are low levels of dispute, and we hope that that can really turn into the best rates and the highest levels of cooperation. But sometimes it doesn't go that perfectly. And I guess one of the criteria that we use for investment is really working together with carriers who do want to see this as a significant revenue stream and one that can develop over time. And that's really led us to a certain extent to reorientate our business away from trying to activate US consumers and working very much more in terms of using the payment method with consumers in Asia as well as consumers in Europe. We still have a material U.S. business, but clearly we can only extend that to the extent that carriers want to develop it, and that's obviously something that does vary, as you mentioned, country by country, region by region.
I would also think, John, that this puts a different twist on the business that they're in if they're really assuming the risk. I mean, I think obviously we know that payments is a lot more than just processing a payment. There's a risk factor associated with it as well. How do the carriers feel about that?
Well, and the answer to practically everything in carrier billing is it varies. But obviously, if there's one thing that's a constant, it is the fact that nobody wants to be dealing with runaway risks. In fact, one of the things we've been putting quite a lot of technological effort into is providing sort of risk control mechanisms, the smarter spend limits, better tools to be able to ensure that the consumers who are using this convenient payment mechanism will ultimately pay their bill. In most of the parts of the world in which we operate, the risk of bad debt is held by the carrier to the extent that we stick within the rules. And so we have the very strong sort of spending limits that ensure that if there are going to be any bad experiences, that they are limited. And that's really the same as any other payment mechanism. It's similar to, say, a Visa or a MasterCard, that if you follow the rules, you're going to get paid. I think what's different, and something where a technological player like Boku can really help, is in developing the technology to help carriers to manage that risk. Because traditionally, they haven't really had that type of technology. Their risk systems are set up perhaps to score people on the way in, but they haven't really been set up to do good transaction-by-transaction risk scoring. And that's something that we're devoting a reasonable amount of effort to. And I think it's important to help us grow our business is to be able to ensure that everybody's able to make money out of it, both the merchants in selling more stuff and the carriers in having new services that are profitable for their customers and for their shareholders.
Well, I would think, too, that as important as mobile phones are today to all consumers, that that's probably the last thing consumers would want to put at risk. Not paying their phone bill means not having access to their phone. So that in and of itself may be a risk mitigation factor, too, wouldn't you think?
Yes, that's right. I mean, compared to other payment mechanisms, the intrinsic security in terms of anti-fraud for phones is extraordinary. I mean, if you go back to previous experience, the fact that essentially every transaction that is undertaken on a Boku, an Atabuku merchant, is going to confirm not only that the transaction, that the phone account is in good standing, but that the consumer is actually holding the phone in their hand and is confirming their consent to the transaction by, you know, getting their consent back, is an extraordinary level of control that is not available on any other payment mechanism. That makes it more secure than a Visa MasterCard, more secure even than a PayPal, where, you know, if somebody can compromise your password, it's one thing. Typically, you're going to report it if your phone's been stolen. And that gives us a great measure of protection against out-and-out fraud, which is, I think, a really firm basis to help us with our mechanism.
That's a very good point. Final question. So you're new into the role of CEO, although you've been with Boku for some time. What's your first 100 days as CEO? What can we expect to see?
Yeah, as you say, I mean, the first thing to say that this is not a kind of all change, process. So don't expect to see something which is dramatic. I've got some priorities clearly, and the three priorities we have are really about trying to onboard, more digital merchants. A great example of that is something we'll be announcing, in fact, only tomorrow, where we've gone live in four countries with, on the Sony PlayStation 4. A great example of the sort of merchant we're trying to go after, selling a bunch of digital content through devices, not only on the mobile, but also on special devices like the console. That's one of our big priorities, to make sure we get more of those merchants in more places, more activated. Secondly, we really want to stand up a global organization. Do you know that, something like 6 months ago, we essentially had nothing, outside Europe and the US. We bought a company in India. We now have operations in Japan, China, in Singapore, in Thailand. And having a truly global payment mechanism and putting more merchant volume through in Asia to position ourselves as a truly global player is my second major priority. And the third one is really about trying to ensure that we have start taking Boku out of the digital space and start trying to get some traction in real-world services. Now, we think that we've only just scratched the surface of what we can do with this really convenient payment mechanism. And as you start going into the real world, each of those new merchant sectors, the new merchant verticals, in and of themselves, are bigger than the virtual content, bigger than digital, and really show the potential. And I really want to start demonstrating that can happen. So whether that's transport, ticketing, vending, these are the sorts of verticals that we're going after. And I would hope in the next 100 days or so to be able to show progress across all of those fronts.
Well, John, it sounds like you're going to have a very busy 100 days, and we wish you great success at Boku and certainly with your priorities to bring more merchants onto the platform, expand your reach globally, and expand the breadth of goods that people can use Boku to buy. So thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
Thanks, John. We'll catch up with you again very soon, we hope.
Indeed.